Greetings, saints. God blessing to you and to yours. And thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Amen. All right. Father, we ask your blessings today on this and your anointing, and that it touch people's hearts and protect them from the works of Satan that are out there seeking to cause them to stumble. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue today with Death Separates the Fleshly from the Spiritual, number 11. Okay, let me ask you to fast and pray about last Sunday's and today's broadcast and this dream below, and the study in Ephesians chapter 4, which we're going to look at, with a heart to obey it. And let us bind and forbid all spirits of witchcraft, faction, slander, unforgiveness, etc. Eve received by faith on the 8th for our morning prayer meeting. Hebrews 13 and 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account, and that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you." Amen. And we'll see why that comes in so important in the next teaching here. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on 7/1/21, and we called it Obey Ephesians 4 and Avoid Separation from the Body. And that's basically what the revelation from the Lord was all about. Vanessa said, "We of UBM were in a house and there was a lot of room." Well, let me say, there is a lot of room in the house because the Lord is making room for those who are chosen of Him and desire sanctification to be part of the bride and to be joined to the UVM body. And hardly a day goes by that we do not receive texts from the Bible that speak of God releasing His people from captivity to return to the real kingdom of God. The first fruits are a very small group of people. They are the first to come to maturity through the daily sacrifice of their flesh on the altar. And it will be their job to raise up the church as it was for those first disciples, because they were the first fruits to Jesus. And the people will be delivered from the apostate leadership and those who continue to serve them. God will drain the religious swamp. Matthew 21 and 43 says, "Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." So anyone can be replaced. No one is irreplaceable. Some think that because of very natural means and very natural gifts and so on and so forth, that they are irreplaceable, and they find out differently. Matthew 25:24-30 says, "And he also that had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter.'" He had a bad opinion of the Lord, didn't he? "And I was afraid, and went away and hid thy talent in the earth." And, of course, this represents burying the gifts of God that are meant to benefit the kingdom and his people, and being buried in fleshly desires, right? "And lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, that at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. And that sounds a lot like bearing fruit, does it not? Verse 28, take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And we talk about, this is talking about fruit. If you got fruit, you get more fruit, because you think and you act through that fruit, and it changes what you reap because it changes what you sow, right? And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And he does that, and he is doing that, and we've been watching him do that. People that decide they don't want to bear fruit in the area that God's dealing with them in, they generally get the foot. And Vanessa goes on to say, we were just casually talking, and I saw Missy kneeling in front of a workbench. She was wearing white pants and was painting a picture with watercolors. Yeah, this is Missy laboring in prayer, she says, while she is walking in righteousness. She is painting a picture by her prayers and the Word of God. Amen. Well, Missy is representing here the bride. The Word of God is represented by the water colors, which are attributes of the light. As we know, the prism is all the is the light broken down into these different attributes, which are colors. And Joseph's coat of many colors represents him having all the attributes of the light, which is the Word, and who is Jesus, right? Amen. So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, because you're either going to have one or the other. This was a peaceful picture of a blue sky and a bright sun. All right. The glory of God, right? With green grass. The bride, it appears, is hard at work interceding for the people of God through prayers and fasting, just as Esther did when her people were under the threat of Haman. She is using her faith through imagination and intercession to paint the future for her and the church. Amen? So this is a revelation from God for us today. Then David began talking to all of us here in local UBM. Well, quite often, local UBM is being used as a microcosm of larger UBM. He said, quote, we need to do what is in Ephesians chapter 4, or there will be a split among us, unquote. I was surprised in the dream, because currently we seem to be walking with the Lord and in unity of the body. And that's true. The Lord, however, is warning us to, quote, walk worthily of our calling, wherewith we were called, in love, right, unquote. He has been cleaning us up and cleaning out those who aren't serious about holiness and the body ministry of love. He will make a separation if there isn't true repentance, so that his bride will be spotless and blemishless. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Lord says, and don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. So hang out with the people you want to be like, right? And Vanessa said, when I woke up, I was wondering, how could this be? But when I heard the dream that David read at our Friday meeting, and to larger UBM on Sunday, of a threat of faction titled Clean Up to Escape Faction Attack by Andrew Galinas. I believe this dream I had is a warning, and I also believe that we were fulfilling what Missy was doing in the dream when she knelt and prayed at the workbench on Friday when David, not knowing of my dream, suggested that we all kneel before the Lord and pray in the Spirit and cast down faction spirits. It seemed a confirmation. Father, she prayed, please help us to continue to labor in prayer with your word for our UBM body and the body of Christ. Also cause us to know what you're saying in Ephesians chapter 4. And obey your word so that there is no splits among us, no divisions among us, right? And we ask you for your mercy in Jesus' name, amen. And we agree. So, reading Ephesians 4, we see so much of it is about how to treat each other. And it's about love. And so we thought we would study it because it seems that it's ordered of God, right? Ephesians chapter 4 is all about walking in love and unity among the brethren. In order to do this, we must know God's definition of love. It's quite different from the emotional love that humans experience. God's agape love is action and not feelings. It is obedience and doing. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Christians, in name only, refuse to obey the Father, proving that they don't have agape love. The Bible Dictionary defines love this way. Love, whether used of God or man, is an earnest an anxious desire for and an active beneficial interest in the well-being of the loved one. God is love, which leads him to express himself in terms of endearment towards his creatures and actively to manifest that interest and affection in acts of loving care and self-sacrifice in behalf of the objects of his love. Yes, that's so awesome, and that does really pin it pretty good, I tell you. 1 Corinthians 13, before we get into Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 13 defines God's love. Here's 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Wow. So, love is all important in God's people. And love is action, not empty words, or impressing people with our words. And you know that the old sayings of actions speak louder than words, and put your money where your mouth is. It's important that we be men and women that keep our word to others. Otherwise, we bring disrepute on the name of Christ, and we, of course, will appear foolish to other people in the world even. Psalm 15, 1 through 4 says, "The Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart." Many people lie to themselves to make themselves feel better. Or they let demons in their heart lie against them to us to make us feel like we're superior. Okay, that can happen. Rejection a lot of times brings that on. It's a lying spirit that lies about what others are thinking about you, doing about you, on and on. Speak the truth in your heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend. Now, this is those who are going to sojourn in God's tabernacle. Right? Nor doeth evil to his friend. You know, those that return evil for good, evil will not depart from their house, the Lord says. And you can see it. Just look out there at the people who have returned evil for good. You'll see destruction all around them. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Taketh up a reproach is when you listen to somebody else with a reproach and it gets into you and you begin to repeat this slander and foolishness. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Everybody can see who a reprobate is. It's somebody who is rejected from God's provision, from his holiness, from his righteousness, from his word. That's a reprobate. But who honoreth them that fear the Lord? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, he can't be bribed by the prospect of gain, whether it's spiritual or physical. They can't be bribed by that. They're going to tell the truth anyway. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, that's pretty good, wouldn't you say? But have not love, I am nothing, nothing. See, it's the utmost importance to God that we love, okay? God considers that loving his word and obeying it and loving his people is more important than anything else that we could do in this life, including his gifts. Okay. Verse 3. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body, and some versions say to be burned, but it's not numeric. It is that I may glory is numeric. But have not love, it profits me nothing. There are people out there that put on a show of being sacrificing their lives, like Mother Teresa, who actually didn't even know if she was saved, and who in some way evidently was mixed up in the child trafficking thing. Yes, well, I think that's going to come to light here directly. Anyway, people can give great sacrifices of their life, and still, if they don't really have love, it doesn't profit them a thing. And we're talking about God's love. That's not just feelings or emotions. Again, even the worldly people have that. We're talking about agape love. That's actions towards others. None of our works will remain. They will all be burned up as stubble if we do not walk in love. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 says, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another built thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's the foundation for Christians. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about Christians, okay? But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, those are things that would stand the test through the fiery trials, right? Or wood, hay, and stubble, which would not stand the test, and we would not get a reward, right? Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. The fiery trial talking about. Can you stay in the word and in obedience to the Lord through the midst of the trial? That's how you receive your death, burial, and resurrection right there. If any man's work shall abide which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Meaning he will have no rewards. He might enter the kingdom, but the rewards that he would have had, he doesn't have. So since this speaks of building on the foundation of Christ, this speaks of Christians having their carnal works burned up. This means, of course, that they don't get a reward. Okay, number four. Love suffereth long. Okay, since love is most important, we need to pay attention. Love suffereth long. It's patient with others. It's what he's saying. And it's kind. It's not mean as a snake like many religious people are, if you know what I mean. Self-righteous, looking down on people because of what they believe and what church they go to and so on. So no, none of these things will count for a hill of beans before the Lord. Love envieth not. They're not jealous of others. They know what God has given to them. They're walking by faith to receive everything that God gives to them, right? Love vaunteth not itself. To vaunt oneself is to boast or to brag, to make a vain display of one's own worth or attainments, to talk with vain pretentiousness and showiness. Okay, again, leading upon the Bible dictionary. Is not puffed up. That finishes the sentence very well. Prideful and arrogance, right? Puffed up. Proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Meaning, not in accord with accepted standards of decency or morality. Not suited to the circumstances, inappropriate, unattractive, and unsightly. Yeah. And seeketh not its own. Love does not seek its own benefit or its own interests, and is not self-serving and selfish in its thinking, right? Is not provoked. So it cannot be instigated to react harshly and rashly, right? That's demon spirits that do that. Not provoked. They're calm. They're not up and down according to the situation around them. Right? They're on a steady keel. Taketh not account of evil. Love does not keep a running tab of the wrongs of others towards it. Love forgives and forgets. And every day begins with a clean new slate, as if all the yesterdays never happened. Later, I'm going to share with you about forgiveness, both governmental and personal. There is a difference. Everybody is not to be forgiven governmentally, because then the church would be filled up with tares, and it is in some cases. Okay. So we'll talk about that a little later. Number 6, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Well, love does not approve of or go along with the evil actions of others, but rather loves the truth of God's word and loves to see people walking in the truth. And love is loyal to the truth, right? Verse 7. Beareth, which in numerics is covereth, okay, all things, and things was not in the original either, covereth all. It covereth all. Love covereth a multitude of sins, the Bible says. And Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever forgives an offense seeks love. But whoever keeps bringing up the issue separates the closest of friends. You know that God in the Bible brought up some wicked men who were causing faction, and these people have been receiving that rebuke all of this time. It was spoken, of course, through apostles, but they've been receiving this rebuke all through that time because they never repented. Amen. Anybody that repents, it should be behind you, right? And so it goes on to say, believeth all, because once again, things was not there in the original. Believeth all. So love is not suspicious or paranoid. It does not accuse in your mind, right? That's not love. You need to reject that, cast it down, right? Ecclesiastes 7 and 21 says, also, take not heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, you have trouble getting that out of your mind, right? And here we go. Love hopeth all, not things, but hopeth all. Love does not get drugged down with discouragement concerning others. It always remains hopeful and chooses to continue in faith for the brethren. It endureth all, not things, but endureth all. Endure means to suffer something or someone who's difficult, painful, or unpleasant in order to continue to exist for a long time. You know, obviously, if we have unforgiveness towards people, we're not enduring properly. The to bear up courageously or to tarry or to wait for means is the meaning from it. Endureth all. We endure patiently people. There are people with many different idiosyncrasies, and we just got to love them all, right? Not hold things against them because they're this way or that way, you know. Verse 8, love never faileth. Okay. And verse 13, but now aboutth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Wow. Love is so important to God. Okay. It's a good thing for everybody to study what love is in the scriptures, what agape is in the scriptures. We need to meditate on it because this is important to God. What he's looking for in a bride is love. Yes, right. Now, let's look at Ephesians 4, but I'd like to start back a little bit before that in chapter 3 with verses 14 through 21. And this is a really good, important prayer that Paul prays for power to do love. So Ephesians 4, of course, is all about, you know, love. But Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21 is a prayer for power to do love. Now, when you see Paul praying a prayer, it's not a foolish prayer. It's not a prayer that is not attainable, or he wouldn't pray it. He wouldn't give us this example in the scriptures, you know. It's a prayer we need to pray and believe, right? Okay. Also, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Okay. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, so that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. We can actually ask God to give us his power in our spirit so that we're able to do the things he desires. And this is not a far-fetched prayer at all. This is a common prayer that we all should be praying. This is one of the most important, actually. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. In other words, so that you would have power, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through your faith towards Him. To the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. There it is, right there. So, power. Strengthened with His power. To be rooted and grounded in love. And love, of course, is so important to God that it's more important than anything else. Even any of the gifts that God gives us. Faith in our redemption causes us to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love so that we are strengthened to take a hold of the nature of Christ's love and be filled with the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. If you haven't asked God to fill you with His Spirit, do so. And don't put it on, don't lay it under your conditions, you know. When in the book of Acts, they consistently received speaking in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit. Don't you make a condition to God. He's telling you how He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit so you can pray in a language of the Holy Spirit for you when you don't even know what to pray for. And that's why speaking in tongues is important, is because you don't intercede your will in your prayer. You let the Holy Spirit pray through you according to the will of God. So do this. Be filled with the Spirit of God the same way they got it. If you get what they got, you will do what they did. Aha. Verse 18. May be strong to apprehend. Now, some versions that are not particularly accurate say comprehend. Understanding something is not enough. You have to apprehend it. Okay? May be strong to apprehend, not comprehend. With all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. See, we're talking about the whole picture of Christ. His breadth, His length, His height, and His depth. To know it all about Christ. Which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, you need to have the full picture of Christ. Religion is not enough. You know, just a little word on Sunday, and then people going on and sharing everything in their mind. You know, that's not enough. You need the Word of God. And if you have to stay home and read your Bible until you find out what He looks like and what He has given to you, which is what He looks like, then do it. Because some people are just wasting their time. So, unto all the fullness of God. Wow. Now, again, this is not a pie in the sky prayer here. In other words, He's talking about here very clearly to apprehend all of what Christ is. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Look, it's not according to your power, or you would think this is a pie in the sky prayer. Okay? No. It's according to His power. You're having faith in Him and His power to do this. You know you can't do this. That's why you're praying, right? Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's not according to our power. Some people say you can't be perfect. They never read the Scriptures. It has nothing to do with what we can do. It has everything to do with what God can do. And He says, and He calls it perfect. Okay? We'll get there a little bit later. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, when we want to come into Christ's image, it's not the image of Christ that's being portrayed today in modern churches. It's the image of Christ that was spoken of back then. It was the church back then coming into his image, doing his works, walking in his fruit. That's what it's all about. Not walking in the religious ways of dead Christians today. So now that we have the power, we can have the love expressed in chapter 4. That's what it's all about. So let's look at chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we're going to go 1 through 32. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. Called means invited. You're invited to partake of everything that Christ is, as we just read. You're invited to this. And we are to be prisoners. That's why Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. This is a good thing. We are to be prisoners of the Lord, just as Paul was. We were ransomed with a price. Jesus died to set us free from sin and the curse. Our lives are not our own, but we belong to Jesus and God, our Father. And we're now his bondservants. And our sole purpose for being here on this earth is to do the will of our Father and not our own will. Amen. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, because of course the power doesn't come from ourselves. What do we got to be proud about, right? With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In other words, giving grace to other people if you want grace from God. You have to sow what you want to reap, right? If we each consider others better than ourselves, we will have the humility to be patient and forbearing with each other. And this will keep us from falling into criticism and unforgiveness towards others and judging others. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He came to lay down his life for the people of God, and he told his disciples that no servant is greater than his master, and every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. Did you hear what he said? When he's perfected, shall be as his master. We're to come into his image, into the image of his ministry even. He washed his disciples' feet, and he commanded them to do the same. He was very humble towards them. He gave them an example of humility. Verse 3, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It takes conscientious diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. We know that God wants to do this. There are people that all they practice is division. All they want to do is divide people. And if you ask them for what reason, they get very confused, because it has nothing to do with reason. It has to do with demons inside of them. Demons of division, of faction. So we need to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's something to be guarded and defended against the spirits of faction and division that are continually trying to separate brethren from one another. Denominationalism is a larger faction of the small faction that's happening today in bits and pieces here and there, but it's the same thing, is they want to divide the church and take people out from under people who can teach them the Word of God and who can cast out demons. Yeah. And, of course, they want to separate people from the body of Christ, and it's the desire of the demons in them to shatter the body. And there are no lone rangers running around out there. There's no people who are ordained to leadership or to apostleship out there that weren't ordained by the Lord. So people who ordain themselves, of course, they are these lone rangers that run around trying to find a group to listen to them. And they sneak into houses, take and capture silly women laden with sin. Silly women are groups of people you know, laden with sin. So no man or woman lives to himself or dies to himself. Our words, our actions, our choices, our thoughts affect others. And the only way to stay unified in the body of Christ is to have the bond of peace, which is to stay in his word daily. The word brings us into unity. You see, as I shared with you a testimony of years ago, how when I worked at Exxon, we had Bible studies, and people came from every different faction of Christianity to those Bible studies. And what we studied at first is that we have no right to do anything to add to or take from the word. We should be careful in everything we say. And we kind of harped on that for a while, and people agreed, yep, that's it, the word. It's the word. It's the word. So you know what? There was such unity that came about because of that, that we had miracles and signs and wonders in the plant. Mm-hmm. And a wondrous unity. So renewing our minds with the word is very, very important. It will bring us into unity. Jesus is the word of God. We can't remain in him if we don't remain in his word. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling. So, you know, Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. So that was his desire. And men have divided up the body, you know, for their own aggrandizement ever since. If you're not united together with the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit among the elect of God through obedience to his word, which commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is a willful disobedience, according to Hebrews 10, 25, and 26, then you'll lose the hope of your calling and will be devoured by the wolves, the enemies of your soul. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's one. And he wants for one people, right? People are dividing over baptisms. They're dividing over faith. They're dividing on the Lord because they got different lords. there is only one Lord and one faith. And we come to that unity and knowledge by sticking with the scripture. Yeah, let the religion go whatever way it wants to, because they always scatter and shatter, you know. So it's not necessary to follow them. And if your life, which is your thoughts and your attitudes and your actions, don't match or line up with the commandments that Jesus laid down in the New Testament, then you are not part of the body of Christ, nor are you his disciples. You're serving another Jesus that allows people to live according to their flesh nature, being ruled by it instead of submitting to the word and repenting. Repentance is not something that you only do when you first come to Jesus. Repentance is something you do forever until you come into his image. Changing your mind, that's what repenting means. Change your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind can only come from Scripture. There are only two men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. And Jesus said, my mother and brothers are them that hear my words and do them. Amen. So, verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Does that sound like unity? Wow. Yeah. Those who are in God through submission to his word, and those in whom God lives, are his real body. And the rest is fake religion. And as you can see, they've shattered into so many religions and over silly little things in most cases, and sometimes important things, but the ones that break off from them also deteriorate because they are a faction. They deteriorate and fall all to pieces. and don't reflect what their original heroes taught, like the Wesley brothers, you know. Yeah. Verse 7. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Each one of us has initially been given a measure of the gift of Christ, but we must not bury our gifts or our talents in the earth of our fleshly desires or what we will be taken away from us. What we have will be taken away from us, and it'll be given to others. No one is irreplaceable. Paul said, I buffet my body daily, and I bring it into submission, lest I myself would be rejected or reprobated. So if the great apostle would be rejected, what about us? We have to bring our body under submission to the Scriptures, or we too can be rejected, as he said. And verse 8 says, Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Well, notice that Jesus overcame our captivity to the sin nature and religion and so on and so forth. And the curse, you know, the curse was, of course, came upon man because of rebellion against his word. So how do we reverse the curse? We submit to his word. It's very simple. And he has given us the authority to overcome our flesh, to become sons of God like himself. And we have to take hold of this by faith to see the end of our salvation. If the devil can rob us of our faith, then we will not mature, and in most cases will not be saved. And Jesus said this basically in the parable of the sower. 3 out of 4 fell away. So it's clear. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So, Jesus died on the cross. He took the curse upon himself. He bore our sicknesses upon himself so that we could attain to that position in him. You know, he didn't walk under the curse. He didn't walk in sickness. He didn't do these things. He had to be able to do the word, the will of God. Jesus overcome everything so that we too could overcome everything, so that we could be a part of his eternal body. The Lord ordained elders to bring this body together. The faction movement seeks by their Lord, Satan, to destroy the body. Yeah, constantly. Yeah. Verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, there it is again, of the saints. God's words. Ignorant men will say they don't believe in perfection. Well, they deny the word of God. Is this anything like adding to the word or taking from the word under which a curse is spoken in the last 4 verses of the Bible? Yeah. For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering. In other words, we're all being raised up to minister in some ways. We don't necessarily all have an office of apostle, prophet, etc. There are a lot of people out there choosing to have the office of apostle and prophet. They've made themselves so. Nobody who was an apostle ordained them, as in the early church happened, right? They ordained themselves, which is the most foolish thing they've ever done. So, and all of this is for the building up of the body of Christ. He gave these different teachers, preachers, gift people, to build up the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And the Lord has set elders and shepherds over his flock to grow us up and mature us so that we too can be ministers to one another in order to build up and spiritually strengthen each member of the body of Christ. Amen. We're not members of UBM just to sit back on our laurels and stay where we are and walk and soak in all of God's blessings and so on and so forth. If we're just spiritually lazy and slothful and letting the elders do all the work for us, that's not scriptural. Each one is a member of the body. Every member serves the whole body. Yeah. And we have to fight the good fight of the faith for ourselves. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven on the leadership's coattails. We cannot wear our own apparel and be called by his name. And your own apparel means your own works, right? So, verse 13 says, until we all attain. All this that he said before is until we all attain unto the unity of the faith. See what God desires? The unity of the faith. You can come to the unity of the faith. I have seen it from people of all different backgrounds, even preachers among them, all different backgrounds, coming to the unity of the faith because they sit down and decide to believe everything the Word says and don't add to it and don't take away from it. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, because if you're looking in the mirror at Jesus, you can come into that image, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But if you got another Jesus, you're going to come into that image. We need the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man. There are many children out there with beards, as one of my brothers had a revelation of. Children with beards. In other words, they've been with the Lord a long time and they're still children. That's sad. They're not bearing fruit. It takes the Word to bear the fruit of Jesus. The Word in your heart. It's more important than church. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, most religious people, especially those who haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, believe that's crazy. If they didn't know that was in the Scripture, they would argue with you right off. In fact, if you use different words to say the same thing, they will argue with it right off. I'm just telling you, because they just do not believe it. Okay, but this is God, and as we saw earlier, it's because of his power that he is able to do this. Now, let me say, would you like someone who had come into the image of Christ? Well, in most cases, Christians would not like them. They would do just like the early church did, throw them out, crucify them. They wouldn't like them. So don't tell me that you know what perfection is until you've read the Scriptures and believed every word, including this one. And this is the goal, becoming full grown in the image of Christ. The more Christ of the Word we have in us, the less of our flesh nature will be. And we'll be unified with the same mind of Christ as the brethren. If everybody has the same goal, coming into the image of Christ. Now, there's quite a different image in the church. Everybody wears a church suit. Yeah. But Jesus didn't do that. And everybody's got a pulpit. But Jesus didn't have that most often. Except when he preached to the church crowd back then. You know, I mean, there's just so many habits we have in church that are not from the early church. Okay. And verse 14 says, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Children. Playing church, right? Tossed around from one church to the next, believing that this at this time and that one at that time. Yeah, you might grow up and you might move to a different church, but you still got all these traditions of men you have to soak up, right? And carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness, after the wiles of error. There are many deceivers out there, many. If we are spiritually lazy and we don't stay in the Word of God to renew our minds, so we can have the thoughts of Christ, then we will constantly be tossed about by wicked men and their false doctrines. We will be unstable in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions, which is basically your soul. We'll be unstable. We will be spiritually stunted and perpetual children, always needy, always spiritual takers and never spiritual givers, unable to be any benefit to the rest of the kingdom of God. Most churches can't even give the milk right. Verse 15, but speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. When you're growing up into the head, it means you're coming more and more under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, right? He's the head. We're not. And the only way to grow up in Christ is to love the truth of the Word and submit to it at all costs. And don't defend your flesh. Let it die. And don't deny the Word of God so that your flesh can live. That's what a lot of false doctrines are all about, is we don't want to die. Because the Word will put you to death, like water baptism. The water represents the Word putting you to death, putting your old man to death. If you obey the Word, your old man dies. It's that simple. You must fulfill what your baptism gave you by faith. When you read the Word and you come across things that your mind doesn't agree with, guess what? Repent. It means change your mind. Change your way. Don't depend on somebody else to do that. It takes them a long time to do it, and many of them are not going to do it because they went to Bible college. This is the only way we got to be united with the head, Jesus Christ. Get in the Word. Submit to the Word, right? Verse 16. From whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Yes, there it is, in love. Oh, praise God. We ended up where we started out. It's most important to come in to love. And we will be continually building and putting the body together if we love one another. And if we forgive and come into all the attributes of love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, we will be blessed immeasurably. Amen. Okay, well, thank you, Father, for this time, and we enjoyed your word today, Lord. We ask that you bring it to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, amen.